The readings I've chosen this morning are from two of the Gospels, short readings about the death of Jesus on the cross. First one is from Matthew. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a stick, and he offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. And the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. And the next bit is from John's Gospel. The account of today is in all four Gospels, and everybody, as you know, speak in different ways. But this is a bit from John's Gospel. And it says, "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Two accounts telling the same events, but each with their own little bit added. So, thinking about Good Friday, I thought we might look at one or two of the statements from these readings that we've just read. It's probably familiar territory for a lot of us, but we know in life it never does any harm to have reminders, especially when you've got meetings and you forget that it's there. And we get little texts saying, "Have you remembered?" First, why did Jesus have to suffer in such a way? I think we've all wondered that. We know he died to make atonement or to pay for our sins. But why the suffering? Why the shedding of his blood? And to find out, we have to go back to the Old Testament. John will be pleased about that. When God's people, the Jews, went to the temple to worship. And once a year, there was a day called the Day of Atonement, when two goats were killed and their blood was spilled. They had to be perfect, and they had to have no blemishes. One was sacrificed in the temple, and the other was sent outside the city into the desert. But blood was necessary in both cases, as directed by God. The blood was the sign of atonement. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he was taken outside of Jerusalem to be crucified. In today's world, it's like he was a low-life nobody. Now, that's today's words that they say for someone who means nothing and who isn't important. He had no sin, but his blood was shed to fulfill God's plan of atonement for his people. And it was once and for all. And this lamb was perfect and unblemished. And all of this fulfilled the order of the covenant of the new of the Old Testament. This was the new covenant. Secondly, let's look at when Jesus died and the temple curtain was torn in two. Why on earth would they tell us that the temple curtain was torn in two? In the Old Testament, a very heavy curtain in the temple kept all light and the people, everybody, from the Ark of the Covenant of God's holy presence. It acted as a barrier, and only the high priest could enter on this special day of atonement. No one else was allowed behind the curtain into God's presence. And the only way the people could communicate with God was through the high priest. Now, when the curtain tore in two, it symbolized for we Christians a way that we could approach God directly through Jesus, who is our high priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek. I love that word, Melchizedek. It's got a lovely ring to it. I love to say Melchizedek. I've said it twice or thrice. Spell it? No. I've spelt it here, but I'm not going to spell it out. If you want to see how it's spelt, you can find out in God's word. It symbolizes a new relationship with God and his people. And this is how today we can talk to God through Jesus at any time, because he is always with us. He knows everything about us, even our innermost thoughts, before even we do ourselves. And we can keep nothing hidden from him. There's no use going in a room and shutting the door. Makes no difference. Jesus is there before we are. We can't hide anything. And we can't forget. Sometimes I think we take this for granted, speaking to Jesus anywhere, anytime. And sometimes we really forget what he had to do to give us that privilege. So, Jesus is the new high priest, offering the final and perfect sacrifice of himself for you and me. This tearing of the curtain is one of the major ways the new religion of Christianity was different from that of Judaism. The old covenant and rituals given to Moses, which you can find in the lovely book of Leviticus, were replaced by the new covenant through Jesus, where no human priest is needed. We don't need a priest. We can talk to Jesus anywhere. We all have access to God 24/7 through Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. Thirdly, let's look at Jesus' words on the cross. Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. I know how to spell that. My God, why have you forsaken me? We know, I hope, well, I think we do, that God in Jesus never leaves us. So how could he, or did he, leave Jesus on that fateful moment? I mean, one would have expected God to be there supporting him. After all, Jesus was doing all this to do God's will. Surely, God didn't leave him. Well, I believe the answer, Jesus said this, is because he took upon his shoulders the sins of the whole world. Now, we know, don't we, how we feel if we do something wrong, or we know we do something or say something or even think something that's not of God. We know how we feel. We don't feel that we can go to God because we've done something wrong. So we stay away. Spiritually, we go downhill. We feel wretched. It makes us feel very unsettled. We feel lost and guilty. Because of the sin, our sin, And that's a sin of only you or me. Imagine multiplying that sin of one person, me, thousands or even millions of times for all the people. And we can imagine Jesus died for all people in the world. So it could be thousands, could be millions. For us to understand a little why Jesus said these words, he felt the desolation of being unconscious of his Father's presence. He was in a deep and dark place. God did not leave Jesus. It was the sins that made him feel he'd lost contact with his Father. Lastly, let's look at the reading from John's Gospel, where Jesus says in verse 30, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Why did Jesus say it's finished? Did it mean he was going to die? Well, maybe it did. But I think it more likely the truth was and is that his ministry and his mission on earth, on our behalf, had been completed. He had been obedient to his Father's will, and he had accomplished all his Father had asked him to do. So, just getting back to why Good Friday is good and bad. Obviously, the bad is all that Judas suffered. He was abandoned by his disciples. He was tortured and beaten, mocked, nailed to a cross, and humiliated by being treated as a criminal. And let's remember, it was not the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was our sins that kept him on the cross. However, the good outnumbers the bad for Christians, I'm pleased to say. It provides all who believe in Jesus a relationship, a new relationship, and a direct line with God the Father. It gives us all what we do not deserve, and the gift of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And that wonderful hope in Jesus, it gives us freedom from sin and a complete new and wonderful life in him, which is everlasting. Now I'd like to just read from John. It's only 5 or 6 verses from John 19. These can all be seen in the Gospels. I thought I had it marked, obviously. I'm not doing very well with this, am I? Right. And it's John 19, and it's 31 to 37. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the others. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may believe also. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. That is why Jesus was pierced. But that is the testimony of a disciple, John, who was there with Jesus on the cross, when Jesus was on the cross. And it confirms without doubt that our Lord Jesus was God. He was fully human, and he truly understands what it is to be human with all the problems that we face, the feelings, the thoughts, the failing relationships, our emotions. And we can only praise God for his wonderful plans for each one of us. There's so much more, really, to know about the events of today. And we've only looked at a few. But you can find it all in God's Word. In the Old Testament, if you can go through it, it's in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Isaiah, the Psalms, but it's everywhere in the New Testament, because this whole book is the story of God's plan for you and me through his love.